Lesson 5, The Essential and Economical Spirit, empowering and supplying us to speak Christ.
Man, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, we really thank the Lord for this time together. Yeah, this is day number, we came on Thursday, day number 5. Yeah, the Lord has done so much. And we can feel the prayer of all the saints. Yeah, for this time. And the atmosphere is so sanctified. We were so worried about safety. But the Lord is full of mercy.
Amen.
He's ruling, he's reigning. He has put his enemy to shame.
Amen.
The Spirit is outpoured. Amen. So let's turn to message 5. So let's declare the title together.
Amen.
Strong spirit.
Amen.
The essential and economical spirit, empowering and supplying us to speak Christ. Amen. Let me ask you all a question. Has anybody heard anything about essential spirit before? If you have heard it, raise up your hand. Nobody? Okay. How about economical spirit? Yeah. It's so good that you have not heard it before. It means you really need to pay attention.
Amen.
That by the end of this meeting, it will not just be a slogan to us or some kind of knowledge or some kind of doctrine. It will be something so experiential.
Amen.
So I pray that the Lord will release the burden of his heart.
Amen.
That we all will see the matter of essential and economical spirit.
Amen.
And how it applies to our day-to-day moving on with the Lord.
Amen.
Right. So let's read the outline number 1 together. Romans 1.
Amen.
Together. Of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, the work of the Holy Spirit has 2 aspects. Inward, essential. Outward, economical. Can you all open John chapter 14, verse 17? John 14, verse 17. Let's declare it together. Did everybody get it? If you get it, raise up your hand. John 14, verse 17. Let's go. Even the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not hold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and shall be in you. Amen. Is the spirit of reality different from the divine spirit? Are they the same thing? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the divine spirit? It's the same spirit.
Amen.
Brother Shepherd told us yesterday that the Holy Spirit has different titles.
Amen.
But it's still, how many spirit? One divine spirit.
Amen.
Right. So here we see the spirit of reality. He will abide with us and shall be in us.
Amen.
We need to enter into such a reality that the spirit is in us.
Yes.
You see, this was the Lord's word to his disciples before he went to the cross.
Amen.
He promised them that the spirit of reality shall abide with them and shall be in them.
Amen.
Then look at your outline on page 5. You will see John 20:22. So let's declare John 20:22 together. So the Lord doesn't make promises that he will not fulfill. If he makes a promise, he stands by it. So we have to see the fulfillment of that promise right here in John chapter 20. We just read John chapter 14. Right. And the Lord promised that the spirit of reality, which is the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, abides with us, will abide with us, and shall be in us. So what happens on the day of resurrection? John 20:22. Let's declare to get a strong spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed into them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. He breathed into them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, our God is so wonderful. He says something, he stands by it. He wants to be in us. Before he went to the cross, he promised. And after he resurrected, he came back and breathed into his disciples.
Amen.
That means when he breathed into them, he is this Holy Spirit. His breathing into them means he breathes himself as the Holy Spirit into them. So now, is he just with them? Now he is in them, right? He is in us.
Amen.
You see, because the disciples are representatives. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, but I'm so sure that when they receive the Spirit, I receive it too.
Amen.
It's just a question of time that one day I will be born on earth and I will receive the Spirit.
Amen.
Now today I can stand boldly before you that I have the Lord in me as the essential Spirit.
Amen.
That Spirit that is in us is the essential Spirit.
Amen.
Is the Spirit for life. Can you get the first item of the title now? The essential Spirit. If I don't have life, can I stand before you?
No.
No way. It means if I don't have life, then if you see my body, then it means it's a corpse. Right? It's a dead body. Right. It has no life. I'm standing before you because I have life.
Amen.
Essentially, I have the divine life.
Amen.
In my being.
Amen.
It's nothing of me. It's what the Lord has done, has accomplished, and he breathed into us.
Amen.
He said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So now let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's one of the verses for this message. Is on page 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So did you all get it? So let's do it quickly. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, what? Upon. I've received the Spirit within.
Amen.
Now, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is upon us. So where am I? I mingle with it because the Spirit is within. And is also without.
Amen.
It means we are mingled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Can't you see that? If the Spirit is within and is without, it means we are mingled with the Spirit. I hope you all are impressed with this. Because in John 20:22, it says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed into them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, on the day of Pentecost, even after the Lord resurrected, he promised his disciples that you stay in Jerusalem, that with time, I will send the Spirit of power upon you.
Amen.
And we can see that I told you the Lord, our Lord is so sure. When he makes a promise, you know, it's not all the time I make some promises that I can fulfill. At times, I wanted to do it, but I'm limited because I'm a man. Yeah, if I promise you I'm coming tonight at 8 o'clock and I get sick, will I be able to go? Right? I promise you, oh, sister, can we have some fellowship? Or you say, oh, I want to have some fellowship with you. And I promise, oh, 7 o'clock I'll be there. And I get sick. Then I have to call you. I'm sorry. Does the Lord get sick? No! With him, it's not limited. He always fulfills his promise. That is kind of the Lord we have. He says it, he does it. So he is the spirit of life that is breathed into us. He is the Holy Spirit. And he's also the spirit of power that falls upon each one of us. So let's turn to the outline. So A, let's declare A together.
On the day of the Lord's resurrection, the disciples received the Holy Spirit as the breath of life.
Amen. Amen. So from this A that we read now, is this essential or economical? Essential. Right. I'm happy you said that. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes.
Nobody has, because when I ask you all, what is essential spirit? Nobody has heard that term before. We are not just making terms here. They are real and rich.
Amen.
And I pray that they will be our experience.
Amen.
That the essential spirit is the breath of the Holy Spirit that the Lord breathed into us.
Amen.
He breathed himself as the Holy Spirit. So now we have him essentially inside of us. You have life. It's your life and your life supply. Right. So that is really, really very rich. How about B? Let's declare B together.
On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples as a rushing mighty wind.
Amen.
And the wind is for power.
Amen. Amen. So here, you see, one is so gentle, the breath. Is the Holy Spirit that is breathed into us. Here we see a rushing mighty wind. Even King James Version says rushing violent wind. I think probably this is much better. The Recovery Version term is much better. He said, you know, when something is violent, you feel it's kind of aggressive, it's going to kill you. But here, you see, the Recovery Version put it in a very wonderful way. A rushing mighty wind. Yeah, this is the spirit of power. You see, let me give you an example. Now we had essential spirit and also economical spirit. How does that apply to us? Are they two spirits? No. They are just two aspects of the same divine spirit. Essentially inside of us and economically upon us. You see, if you see, have you ever, you know, there was a time my daughter, she was probably in the, maybe young people like you. I was driving, she was with me. So we got to a red light. Then I was supposed to stop, right? I stopped. Then I saw a policeman in the uniform and he told me to go. You see, if you see a policeman, for brothers and sisters who drive here, right, of course, you know it's a policeman. He has the power of authority, right, to change whatever instruction was written there before. So my daughter said, oh, the police said you should go. Then I have to proceed because it's the authority. You see, the spirit of power is like the uniform. You see, outwardly, you may not see the uniform upon us. There is the power of authority, heavenly power, that is put upon us, that is placed upon us by God. You see, wherever we go, you cannot just have the Lord within. You need to have him outwardly too.
Amen.
He is your uniform, the power. You know, let me tell you one story. You see, I'm a doctor. I've been practicing medicine in this country for about 25 years. You see, one day, a teenager came to my office. Then the nurse made a triage, checked the temperature, did everything, brought her to my office. Then I was not wearing my white coat. I just hang it on the wall. Then she came in and said, oh, are you the doctor? So I stood up, I introduced myself to her. Come in, I'm Dr. Ayeni. I gave her a smile. She smiled, then I took my jacket, my white coat. I wore it. Then she feels much happier that this is that I can trust him. He's a real doctor. I mean, if your patients come to you and you come up with a needle, they'll be wondering. The needle is scary at first, and a quack is going to give you a needle. Will you want that?
No.
Don't you want to be sure that this person is a real is a real person?
Yes.
You see, we all really need to be impressed that inwardly we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right. Within us as life and life supply.
Amen.
And outwardly, we have him as the power of authority, as the uniform. So within, we have the Spirit. And without, we are clothed also with him. You see, this aspect of the divine Trinity is very critical. And we all really need to see it. There was a call for the overcomers yesterday. You see, we may have the Spirit within, but outwardly, we need to pray ourselves into the triune God.
Amen.
Until the Spirit is fully outpoured upon each one of us.
Amen.
You see, all these items have been accomplished.
Yeah.
But for us, we need to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any one of you to acquire any kind of knowledge or any kind of doctrine here.
Yeah.
Believe me, I pray that each one of you will enter into something experiential. Okay, so let's move forward. Let's see number C. Item C, let's declare it together.
Amen.
With the Lord Jesus Christ, we also see these two aspects of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's being conceived of the Spirit as a matter of the Spirit essentially, but his being baptized in the Holy Spirit was a matter of the Spirit descending upon him economically. Amen. Amen. You see, that was the Lord's view, is that one day his body will be produced. That was why he went to the cross. But before he can carry out his commission, which he was commissioned with by God, he also needs to be covered outwardly. Right. The Spirit needs to descend upon him. Right. And it was so rich and so real that whatever the Lord went through, we have to go through it. Right. He has to pour himself upon his body. Right. So that inwardly we have him essentially, and outwardly we are covered with him. He's our uniform. Is our power of authority. You see, when you go out there, if somebody says in the street clothes and you are jaywalking and says, don't jaywalk. Right. You understand what is jaywalking means, right? Yeah. When you cross the road, where there's no crosswalk, you'll be looking at him, who gave you the authority? But if the person is a policeman and he has the uniform on, will you not listen? Right. If not, so you get a ticket. And your parents are going to be upset with you. You're going to get a ticket. Because he's a policeman. He is wearing the proper uniform. He's appearing the proper way. When he wears the uniform, it means he has the power of the government. Right. He's representing the government. Right. You see, I told you about myself. I was in my office. I thought I was relaxing. And someone just came in. Because I was not wearing my white jacket. Of course, you know, the other aspect of the young people when they come to the office is what we call white coat hypertension. Some people are so scared of doctors that when they see your white coat, their blood pressure go up. So sometimes when I know who is coming, if it's a child, a four-year-old, five-year-old, I quickly had my jacket so that I can be his friend. Because he doesn't want anything to do with the doctors, because all the five-year-old is thinking about is the needle. Right. Maybe you can handle it, and some of you cannot even handle it neither. Let me see how much time more. Yeah. Yeah. So may the Lord help us to go deeper into this item, to see the aspect of the divine Spirit as essentially and also economically.
Yes.
So let's read Romans 2 together.
We must also be clear that the outward and economical aspect is not the aim.
Yeah.
The economical is more essential. The outward aspect of power is always within
Amen. We must also be clear that the outward economical aspect is not the end. The economical is for the essentials. The outward aspect of power is always for the sake of the inward aspect of life. If you look at there's a scripture reference there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I mean, you can open your Bible, but it looks like it takes you all so long to open your Bible. I think you all really need to work on that. When they say open your Bible, do it quickly. Okay, so let me read it. I have it down here. It said, "For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body." You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the economical baptism, right? That is the economical spirit.
Right.
You are being poured out upon us. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit.
Amen.
We were baptized into one body, and we were given to drink one spirit. So you see the aspect of economical spirit there. That is for the inward. Because we were given to drink. To drink means something inward, right? We are drinking the spirit because I want to be filled with the life of God.
Amen.
So the outward, the economical spirit, is for the inward, right? So the inward is the aim. That more and more, we will grow in the divine life. We will be filled with the divine life itself. So let's do Romans 3 together. The outward aspect of the Holy Spirit is in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You see, if you see the account on Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, and 10, 44 through 46, let's read A together. Then you will be able to see what I'm trying to say. Let's do A together. "Not as some Christians insist, speaking in tongues is not the only or the necessary manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Yeah. If you look at the accounts in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 10, you will see that after the believers, the Jewish part and also the Gentile part were baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was accompanied by the speaking in tongues. But really, if you, the brother, help us to see some other aspects here, that whereby they were baptized in the Holy Spirit economically, but yet there was no speaking in tongue. You see, in the church life, you see, you can hardly hear anything about speaking in tongues here, because it does not build the body.
Right.
What builds the body is to prophesy.
Right.
Right, we all need to prophesy one by one. You see, prophesying comes out of laboring on the word, enjoying the Lord, so that the Lord can flow out. So this is only where you can see it on earth, where every saint is functioning. Right, it's really very rich. It's not about tongue speaking. If you look at the whole account in the New Testament, you will see that the matter of tongue speaking is the least. Whereas to prophesy is excellent.
Amen.
Right. The way the Lord builds his body, right, is to prophesy. And we all should prophesy one by one.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't despise your portion. Your portion is very critical.
Amen.
Whatever you speak, you don't know who exactly picks up what you are really speaking, and that person is really helped. So we all really need to see this portion very well, that each one of us should prophesy. And don't be deceived. A lot of things is practiced in Christianity.
Yeah.
Right. Here we have the highest truth.
Amen.
We have the highest practice.
Amen.
Right. And as we enjoy the Lord inwardly, outwardly, I pray that each one of us, right, will really prophesy one by one. Right. Then how about B together? "Christ was crucified and died once for all. He was resurrected and breathed himself as the life-giving Spirit into his disciples. He ascended and he poured out himself as the all-inclusive Spirit once for all. Christ has accomplished all these things, and he has accomplished once for all. Amen. Amen. Young people, listen carefully, because I'm going to ask you a question. So Christ was crucified and died once for all. He was resurrected and breathed himself as a life-giving Spirit. Is this essential or economical? Listen again. He was resurrected and breathed himself into us. Is that essential or economical? Essential. Wow, I'm so glad for every one of you. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. Yeah. You see, the emphasis here is he's within us. Yeah, he breathed himself. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's not a violent wind. It's very gentle. Right, he breathed himself. Then the second aspect, he says, he was resurrected and breathed himself as the life-giving Spirit into his disciples. He ascended and he poured out himself. He poured out himself. Maybe I should help you a little further here. As a mighty blowing wind. Is that economical or essential? Economical, right? Yeah. Right. So here you see the two aspects. Yeah, both essential and economical. And we learn today that the economical is for the essential. Said, there's no need for us to analyze what we receive through calling on the name of the Lord. I mean, Brother Marvin is going to lead us into that aspect. Let's do two together. The Word of God tells us that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an accomplished fact for us to apply. But we must be right in the body of Christ and stand in it. Amen. Can we quickly turn to page 52? I just offered of your a lesson book. Page 52 of your lesson book. Maybe I'll read quickly because we are losing time. The last paragraph at the bottom. He said, we must be right with the body of Christ and stand in it. Since the baptism in the Holy Spirit has been accomplished upon the body of Christ and it still exists. Even 2,000 years ago, when the disciples gathered in the upper room, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. They are our representatives, so it still exists today. We must be properly related to the body. It means that it's a body matter. It's not just an individual matter. And maintain the proper relationship with the body. Saints, you need to gather with the saints. We cannot forsake the assembly of the saints. Right. And yesterday, some came to the meeting. They are absent-minded. Even if you are absent-minded here, it's better to be absent-minded here than out there. Right. Whether you are here, you are drifting, you are distracted, just come to the meeting. It's a big mercy. I mean, that is not good enough, but it's good for you to come. Right. Then the other aspect that we need to take care of, it says, anything wrong between us and God must be thoroughly dealt with through the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Nothing between the Lord and us should be allowed to remain. It means if we really want to enjoy the Lord essentially and experience him economically, we need to deal with all our situations before the Lord.
Amen.
Our conscience needs to be free. We need to be purged of all the negative things so that the Spirit can really break through and have a way to use us for his heart desire. We are a channel. Amen. Right? We are a vessel.
Amen.
Right. For the vessel needs to be cleansed.
Yes.
We need to open to the Lord, confess all our negative situations.
Amen.
So that we can really experience the outpouring.
Amen.
Yeah, of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Okay, so what's the essential aspect again?
Inward.
You guys know the answer. What's the essential aspect?
Inward.
Okay, economical.
Outward.
Okay, now with a little more enthusiasm, right? You guys know what enthusiasm is, right? So what's the essential aspect?
Inward.
Economical aspect?
Outward.
Praise the Lord. And what is the economical aspect for? Okay, you guys shouldn't know yet. I'm about to tell you. If you answered that, I would have just sat down. It's actually for our speaking. We need power in order to speak for and forth Christ into others.
Amen.
How many of you guys have classmates? I mean, you all should raise your hand. You're students, right? Okay, raise your hand high if you have a classmate. Okay, that classmate, some of them also your seatmates? Right, you guys have seatmates, the person who sits right next to you. Even right now, you guys have a seatmate, right? If you wanted to speak for and forth Christ to them, what would you need? Okay, he said a Bible. That's good, that's a good answer. Who said power? Power, okay.
Courage.
Courage. I like that. That's good. Courage.
Knowledge.
No, that's not one of the answers, but that's good. Kind of. Anything else?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, all right. True. Okay. There's not much time. I'll give it to you. You need three things, and I hope you guys write this down. This is three things you will need. Number one, which I thought you guys would have said, but number one, prayer. You need to pray. We all need to pray. Because anything we speak should come from the Lord as the source. So we want to touch Him as the Spirit, right? So prayer. Number two, we need the Spirit, right? And our brother just showed us we have the Spirit. John 20:22, the Spirit was breathed into the disciples. They are representatives. So we've received that, right? That's essential. But then also we saw at Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. That's economical. So we have the Spirit, right? And number three, our brother answered it here, Solomon. We need the Word. So what are those three?
Prayer, Spirit, and Word.
Okay, that was good. That's the right answer. Now with a little bit more enthusiasm. Number one?
Prayer.
Number two?
Spirit.
Number three?
The Word.
Okay, when we have all three, we can now speak for and forth Christ, right? So let's go to this outline point number four. And I want you guys to read this. Just read it aloud. With enthusiasm, with your spirit, really read these words. And it starts with today. I like that. So that's the first word. That means right now. It's very relevant. So let's read that.
Today we need to learn to call.
I appreciate this outline point. It's very simple. Today, we need to learn to call on the Lord. How many of you guys think you're expert callers on the Lord? Expert level. Okay, intermediate level. Raise your hand if you're intermediate. Novice. A few novices. Raise your hand. Me too. I need to learn every day how to call on Him. I'm glad no one said expert, because if you were an expert, you'd be calling right now. But were you inwardly inclined, Lord Jesus? I realize sometimes I'm in my office, and it's like 12:15, and I just say, Lord Jesus. It just comes out. And it's not a Lord Jesus, I'm so happy. It's a Lord Jesus. I haven't called on you since, maybe morning revival. Wow. Because of that, when my coworker came and they asked me about something, I just answered them shortly. I was like, nah, man, I'll give that to you later. But had I been calling, Had I been in this practice calling all the time, I would have been filled with the Spirit, permeated with the Spirit. I could have said a word that would have ministered Christ to them.
Amen.
Now, you all know who the Spirit is, right? Who's the Spirit?
Christ.
It was kind of like Christ. Christ. Amen. That is a divine fact. Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? We actually spoke about that. He's the life-giving indwelling Spirit.
Amen.
So if we want to be one with this Spirit, we need to consistently be calling on His name. Because when you call the name, what do you get? The person. So right now, if I call Nolan. Nolan. What was that? I heard a yeah. I got the person. If he wasn't here, he wouldn't have responded. If he was sleeping, he wouldn't have responded, right? But he was awake, he's present, Nolan's here. So when you call Lord Jesus, who do you receive?
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Now let's read point five.
God is not in the Spirit of power.
Okay, let's talk about Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. How did the Lord create?
He said it later.
Say that again. What?
What do you like?
No, you said it. Good.
Said left there.
He said, you know, our Lord speaks things into being.
Amen.
Our God is a speaking God.
Amen.
And so what He desires us to be is a speaking people.
Amen.
That's what He wants for us. So He equipped us with three things. What are those three things?
Prayer, Spirit, and Word.
Amen. We're equipped to speak for and forth Christ.
Amen.
He gave us those things. But in order that we do this, we have to actually receive these things. It's a practice, right? Let's go to point A and read this one. How about the brothers? You read point A.
Amen.
Not just in our meetings, but even in our daily life, we must see people all the time speaking Christ. We are His witnesses, and we have to speak Him, speak for Him, and speak for Him on every occasion.
This says in our daily life, and it says in every occasion. The Lord desires us to speak for and forth Him, but not sometimes. Not just Lord's Day morning in the meeting. Not just at the prayer meeting on Tuesday. How many of you guys go to the small group meetings? Okay, that's a good amount. I want all your hands to go up. It would be great if all of the young people were at the small group meetings, right? But the Lord doesn't want you to just speak for and forth Him there. He wants you to speak for and forth Him in your daily life, everywhere you go. So He equips you with three things. What are those three things?
Prayer, Spirit, and the Word.
Amen. Sisters, can you read point B? Now, if I asked you guys, how do you get the Spirit, what would you tell me? Call. I heard a call. I heard a pray.
Ask God.
I heard a ask God.
No.
All of that is the same. I heard a baptize. Interesting. You have to receive Him first. This is true. So all of this was covered, right? So, firstly, call is the answer. Because our calling is our praying, is our speaking to the Lord, right? Because if I go Nolan, who did I speak to? Who did I call? There we go. That's who I'm referring to. So the moment we say, Lord Jesus, that's our prayer. It's short, it's succinct. But when we say, Lord Jesus, who do we receive? The Lord Jesus. Who's the all-inclusive compound ointment as the life-giving Spirit indwelling our spirit with the sevenfold intensified eyes transfusing all of His elements into us.
Amen.
You get all of that was a long phrase, but you get all of that with Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So that's why we could practice to do this every day.
Yes.
Moment by moment, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
But the first step, our sister just said it, we have to receive Him. And praise the Lord, we all have. Have all of you guys received the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. He's within you. Essentially, you have Him. Have all of you been baptized?
Yes.
You guys, no? Who said no? Raise your hand. This one, anyone else? Two, three. Okay, so are you guys sixth graders? Seventh graders? Okay. So you will be baptized. And when you're baptized, you're brought into the body of Christ. And economically, you're actually a part of this baptism that happened 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, there was the outpouring of the Spirit. And when you're brought into the triune God, you come and you're clothed in Christ.
Amen.
When you have that, all we have to do is focus on one thing. This essential Spirit.
Amen.
Calling on Him. Receiving all of these elements, this transfusion of this Spirit. You know, I appreciated shepherding. I do appreciate shepherding. But shepherd speaking last night, when he talked about all the aspects and all the different titles he has now. Shepherd's a dad. I remember when shepherd wasn't a dad. He's now a dad. He's got that name. Shepherd's a husband. I remember when shepherd wasn't a husband. But now he has that title, right? I always knew him as a son. He was always a son. So that's one of his titles. And he's also a brother. Two of those were acquired, right? There was a process in his life. Our Lord also went through a process, right? Part of this process was being made, constituted a life-giving spirit so we could receive Him essentially, and also being poured out upon the body, right? The Jews and the Gentiles, so that we can have Him economically. Now we need to enter into this process, right? By entering into the experience of the economic and essential spirit. And it's so simple. It's really just calling on the Lord day by day and then speaking forth our enjoyment concerning Him. Right? So let's go to point six. Let's read that one. Okay, let's read that one again. Okay, does anyone know what gospel means? Yes. What does it mean?
I think it means like you're telling people about God.
You're telling people about God, this is true. Good news. The good news. Telling people about God is good news. Guys, do you guys know this whole this Pokemon Go game?
Yeah.
You all know it. This one hates it, but you all know it. It was big news, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about it. So, oh, I just caught a Digizord, whatever it is, a legendary, whatever it is, I just caught it, right? That's, you would tell your friends, right? If you get a legendary whatever, you go and tell them, look, I got this legendary, and that's good news. They'd be so happy. Then they'd go and tell their other friend. They'd be like, oh, man, I was with Joshua. He just told me he caught a legendary.
Right.
Right? That's how good news spread.
Yes.
There was an article that was out about a guy. Apparently, he caught all the ones in the Northwest or Northeast. I don't know. Like, he caught all of them. This was big news. It came up on my Facebook news feed. I was like, oh, he caught them all. Yay. But that was good news for people who were into Pokemon.
Right.
Now, okay, that's a game. It's a trivial game. He doesn't even like it.
Right.
How about this for good news? God stepped out of eternity into time to come in the likeness of flesh in order to redeem you and reconcile you back to Himself.
Yeah.
He died on your behalf. It was representative. He didn't have to die. He was sinless. He did it for you. Then went up to the Father. He ascended. presented himself, humanity now in divinity, then descended as a life-giving spirit so that you can breathe him in and he can now be one with you.
Amen.
Never to be separated.
Amen.
And also be brought to all of those who you're in contact with.
Wow.
I mean, that beats a legendary Pokemon, doesn't it? I mean, that beats everything. That's the good news that we want to spread to those around us. But in order to do so, we have to be one with this one, right? One with this life-giving spirit who's filled us, essentially. One with the spirit who's been poured upon the body, who's clothed us economically. And the simplest way is through what? These three words I gave you.
Prayer.
Amen. Now here's I can't cover all these points, so I'm gonna ask the serving ones. When you guys have the group time, please get into these points in the outline, because there was a lot in this outline. We couldn't get into everything. So particularly in this point six, get into the verses here. But young people, please read point C. I want you guys to read C under six.
When we receive the word of God, we have to speak it.
So we're asking you to speak for and forth Christ, right? To speak for and forth Christ with boldness. But this is related to our prayer. You're all students, you all have classmates, you all have seatmates. You might have even had that thought, hey, I should speak to so-and-so. But if you do not pray first, if you're not one with this life-giving spirit, there'll be no impact. There'll be no boldness. You might say something like, hey, what if someone came, hey, brother, what's your name?
Alex.
Hey, Alex. Jesus is Lord. Does that make you want to receive the Lord?
Not really.
What would you think?
It's not exciting.
What if I was like, Alex, you know, the greatest thing in the earth is Christ in you. Do you believe me? But if I was like, Alex, put this down. Listen, the greatest thing on the earth is Christ in you.
Amen.
You want to enter into that. You believe that. But how do we get that boldness? We have to be one with Christ in you.
Amen.
We have to be, you know, there's this phrase. Do you guys know this phrase? Prayed up. Nah, you guys don't know this phrase. You have to be prayed up, right? We have to consistently, constantly be praying so the Lord can embolden us to speak for and forth him with boldness.
Amen.
You know, it might seem to you that I'm like a bold guy or outgoing, but really, I'm like a chicken. I don't want to speak for or forth the Lord. I really don't. But I have a practice. When I'm coming into a situation, I call on the Lord. Last Saturday, I'll give you guys a little testimony before I end. I had a baby shower with my former boss. He's now like a colleague. He went to a different department. And he invited me to his baby shower. And it's kind of like a work celebration, but it's also a networking thing. So I was a little nervous. Just because, you know, your career is invested in that. So I'm just walking up there, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord, I got to talk to these people, oh Lord Jesus. This is my thinking, just speaking to him. And when I get there, there's pizza, you know, they had some drinks and stuff, people, I'm like, no, I'm okay, I'm not, I don't need that, I'm fine, you know, nah. And then inside, Lord Jesus, now I'm here, how long do I have to stay? There was a home meeting that was coming up, so I already told them, yeah, I have to go to this other thing afterwards, it's really close nearby, but I wanted to be here, right? So, as I'm calling, I realized, or while I was walking up there, I realized this building where we were meeting is actually maybe a block away from the meeting hall in Brooklyn. So everyone I met, one of the first things I did, boldly declared to them, hey, you know I go to church right there? Hey, yeah, I go to church. Look, you can see it from the window. boldly declaring this actually created opportunities for the Lord to be spoken of to these ones. To the point where this boss I was telling you about, I'm like nervous. On my way out, he's like, oh, did you talk to Kara's sister? Because she's been looking for a church. And I was like, no, I didn't talk to her. I didn't know she was looking for a church. This is awesome. I'll show her where it is, right? That is how simple it is. But the reason I was emboldened to do so is because I had been calling that entire time. There wasn't a time that I didn't say, Lord Jesus. Not in a very loud way. I wasn't just walking in, Lord Jesus, hey everybody, right? Because that would have been awkward. But just simply just to touch him, because I know where he is, indwelling me. Just Lord Jesus. This is a practice we can all have. And when you guys have this, especially over these summer months, when you go, even at your first day of school, that new seatmate, they're going to ask you, what'd you do this summer? You can be emboldened to tell them, I went to the summer school of truth. Just say summer school of truth. They will have questions. Right away, boldly say it, summer school of truth. They'll be like, what is that? Boom, there you go. You can speak for and forth Christ.
Amen.
So that's what we want to leave you guys with. You're already equipped. You have the three things. What are they? Amen. So now we have to utilize these tools to speak for and forth Christ. Amen. All right, saints. How about we just have some prayer? We could pray two by two, and then I believe there'll be some announcements afterwards. Amen. Some sharing. Do they have time to share?